Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Swinging a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone! Passes does it again.
Again.
It's gone! It's into the bullpen! This game is tied! This game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field. It's high. It's deep. It's back. It's gone! Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over! The Red Sox have won the World Championship.
What's up? Welcome back to Play Tessie. It is episode 227. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get going, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEEI's YouTube channel. Subscribe there. Find the Play Tessie playlist. Has all the episodes. Hit the thumbs up on all of them. And find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. So, Wednesday, we dropped a Abraham Toro interview. Before that, Monday was when we talked Rafi Devers. The trade had just broke. We jumped on this podcast. We had Brad Fohn with us. If you haven't listened to that, you want to hear our raw reactions, you can go back and listen to that. But since then, like, a lot has come out. So a lot of dot connecting, like that's what Red Sox fans and everyone in the media, that's what everyone's been doing, connecting dots, trying to figure out what exactly happened, where exactly everything went wrong, who they should blame, who else they should blame, who's the third guy they should blame. In the meantime, the Red Sox have won two out of the three games they've played, and that's great. We are going to talk a ton about the Devers saga. If you're one of those people that's sick of the Devers stuff, like I'm sorry, it's a huge story and it's going to get talked about. And like I'm sorry, they traded the best player on the team, and news is constantly dropping, and we're learning new things, and we have updated takes because basically, like when we recorded last time, all we knew was they traded Devers. We knew what they got. We knew that Devers was unhappy, and they kind of talked about maybe a trade is what's best, but he didn't demand it. And that's pretty much all we knew. We've also got leveler heads now, I think, and I think a lot of the news that's come out has created that. Though I don't think anyone on here had any takes that were unreasonable. I don't think any of the three of us, or Bradfo for that matter, but the three of us that are here, I don't think any of us have anything that should be walked back. Correct me if I'm wrong, guys. I don't think so. Sammy and Pat here with Gordo, by the way.
No.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was the most depressed I've ever been on a podcast with you guys
when we last recorded excluding the Toro interview.
And
even in that moment, I thought Rafi acted a little bit diva-ish,
but at the same time, the Red Sox the situation from the jump,
both parties deserve blame.
I think the only thing that's changed a little bit for me
is the reaction, or I guess lack thereof from the players.
The Red Sox players has kind of.
I don't want to say it's made me feel better, but it's kind of given me a kick in the butt, kind of like, dude, these guys aren't giving up.
You shouldn't give up as a fan on these guys, like they're ready to rally each other.
I don't think any of us said anything irrational, but I admit I was wildly emotional.
But I think the Play Tessie listeners like when I get like that. I digress. It was a good episode. Dramatic.
So where we're gonna get at the end, because we're gonna talk through everything. Like everything that's come out, like we're gonna make sure we hit on everything that we possibly can. And at the end, we're gonna talk because Sammy, you're right. That the Red Sox player reaction, like especially the quote from Duran where he was basically like, "Yeah, we saw him walk off the plane and I just kind of took a nap after that." You know, it was borderline chilling in a way, because it's like we as fans, we see the best player get traded and we have a meltdown. And you know, the fact that they didn't seem that upset about it. Like we saw, like in trade deadlines in the past, like Xander would call out the team, other guys call out the team, guys clearly upset, reports of everyone upset. Alex Cora calling out the front office, and Alex Cora wearing the underdog shirt, and he's upset, and he wasn't like that at all. And you know, it makes you ponder the other side of these things. So at the end, we're gonna get through everything here, and I want to give Pat a chance to give his updated take right now. But we are gonna talk about, is it possible that this is something the Red Sox should have done? And if the answer is yes, how would you have done it differently? We'll get there at the end. But Pat, where's your head at right now, just initially, before we get into specifics?
Yeah, I mean, the circumstances always change, right? Because when it happened, we're like, this came out of the blue. They just swept the Yankees. They're red hot. Why would you do it? Like, pandemonium. And then, you know, like, more stuff starts to come out where it's like Devers didn't directly ask for a trade, but it sounds a lot like he kind of endorsed one in a way. But I'm telling you right now, the most damning thing, not in a bad way, but the most damning thing is, like you guys said, the locker room reaction. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen, outside of Sedan, a single media post. Thanks, Rafi. Good luck, Rafi. None of that.
Like, from his team.
You have Duran, pretty much. Oh, he walked off the flight. And then he had another comment about, we can't let one small thing. And then Giolito. What'd you say?
Yeah, Duran was like, yeah, he's 1 out of 26.
Yeah. And then Giolito had a comment about, like, we're all pulling in the same direction. And, like, there was a lot of, like, the lack of reaction, I think, is more telling than any of the quotes so far. Because 100%. Because there was kind of a social media, I don't want to say outburst, but people were definitely worked up when Craig made a comment about, like, this is good for the clubhouse, or, like, build a good environment kind of thing. People started freaking out. But then afterward, the next day, you have guys on the beat who are in the locker room, like, yeah, they're smiling, they're laughing, like, it's a pretty good environment right now. And then after that, like, they keep hitting, they keep playing, and it's just like, okay, maybe with the comments, maybe this is good for the environment, which none of us thought of, obviously, right after they traded him.
Small thing I want to touch on. We had Kevin Millar on the show, like 2 weeks back or so, as we record today, and he made a comment, pretty tame, just saying, like, yo, you got to be a good teammate. For example, when I was on the Red Sox trot, Nixon got hurt. They threw me in right field. I terrible at right field, but it helped the team. So I did it pretty harmless. When he said that, I kind of just nodded like, yeah, of course, that's a no-brainer. That's something you learn in T-ball. And the response that we got on the Play Tessie accounts on social media, frankly, in my opinion, was completely insane. Yeah. People saying like, oh, Kevin Millar, he's not worth listening to. Add him to the list along with Papelbon and Doug Mankiewicz of Red Sox, former Red Sox, you don't want to listen to anymore. Dude, come on. I think people, myself included, need to learn that just because you don't like how a take sounds when you read it or when you hear it, doesn't mean it's not worth listening to. And if 95% of the former big league players are saying the same thing, whether you like it or not, maybe, just maybe, it's worth listening to. So, obviously, not happy at all that Rafael Devers was traded. I still don't like the trade. I wish they could have worked things out. Rafi's an amazing hitter. But a little bit of vindication for the old-time players who were saying, you know, you got to be a good teammate. You got to have a good clubhouse culture, this, and that. Look at this. They were exactly right. So, didn't like those comments that Kevin Millar was getting. Not me taking it personal, it being on the Play Tessie, but kind of just a veteran, a Red Sox. I'll go as far as to say kind of sort of a Red Sox legend, Kevin Millar, cowboy up. He was getting a lot of hate just because people didn't want to think that way. Come on, people. We got to be better than that. So thank you, Millar, for coming on the show. Sorry you got those comments. Appreciate the good interview.
Yeah, I mean, and Sammy, to connect it all too, another thing that's come out since we dropped our initial reaction was, I mean, David Ortiz was telling anybody and everybody who would listen, he basically unloaded on Rafi. Like, it wasn't like the amount of David Ortiz quotes that I was tweeting out was bananas. I mean, he could not stop. Like, I would have thought that David Ortiz, like, cause to me, I honestly felt like Rafi was almost a protege of Poppy, but it kind of seems like anytime, like Ortiz said it, anytime I'd reach out for advice, you know, becoming, you know, leader under this new contract, and Rafi wouldn't return my texts. And Rafi, he's got a lot of maturing to do, like all these things. And I know Ortiz is affiliated with the team. He's a special assistant or something, obviously Red Sox legend. But to hear him speak out against Rafi in that way, I mean, yeah, it was surprising to me. It was funny to hear that, to hear Manny take the other side of things. Like that was almost, that was, I don't want to say predictable. It was just funny to hear them take those two sides, just because, I mean, like we're literally almost 20 years later from the whole Manny saga. And
how tapped into the Red Sox do you think Manny is? Big Poppy's no. super tapped in. Like that's
yeah.
I mean, not that Manny's like right after I just said listen to the old players, but right after I said, you know, all this, I saw Manny's comment. I'm like,
but the, Manny, what would you expect though?
Like, does he follow the team? No, no. It's still worth listening to, but I feel like, you know, it's a little different coming from him. He's so he feels so far away, whereas like Big Poppy, Millar, Papelbon, they're locked in with the team. They're on the broadcast. They're breaking things down. So, you know, not to talk out of both sides of my mouth, but when Manny's, you know, I'm like, have you been following this? Yeah, we love Manny. He's crazy.
Manny's my favorite player of all time. He is, but I mean,
I think the other thing too is like Poppy is as tapped in as any former player is. Like he's in and around Fenway all the time. He's down at spring training. The one person you didn't mention, Gordo, was Pedro, who actually kind of agreed with Manny, which I thought was wild. Because could have handled this differently. They should have called me. But like, it was funny because Pedro was like, they should have called me. They should have done blah, 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 blah. Poppy literally, I think, tried to do everything that Pedro said that he would have done. And it didn't work with Poppy. And so I think I put more weight into Poppy's comments because like we just said, he's way more tapped in. He's way more
and he tried
around
to
these
help.
Guys.
He tried to help.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He was there, too. He was there in person a few times in spring training. And also, not to mention, played the exact same position as Rafael Devers on the same team, DH.
Like, that is the equivalent of, like, can you imagine this past offseason? Theo goes up to Craig Breslow and he's like, hey, I have this idea. And Craig's like, I'll get back to you.
Yeah, maybe later.
Leave me alone.
Craig would be like, sorry, Theo, I am not able to take your advice. Goodbye.
Eat shit.
Devour speculants.
No way. You got Milchick on the phone.
I needed an excuse to use that. No, but. The thing is, like, I think the biggest and maybe not, maybe it hasn't changed a ton because you guys both used the word diva about Rafi on the last podcast, and my focus was way more around holy crap, like I cannot believe the team just did this. Just because, and Sam, you alluded to it earlier this episode, just because Rafi, I mean, we can all agree Rafi handled this terribly, like. There was a quote, I forget where the quote came from, so sorry about that, but there was like execs around the league were appalled by how Rafi handled himself with this. And you know what? Like, to be honest with you, I was too. Like, we talked about this on this podcast all the time. The first base thing, the DH thing, the airing out the GM in the media thing. Like, we talked about it, handled it horribly. There's no excuse for it. It doesn't mean necessarily that you should have traded him.
Manny,
and like they've won 2 out of 3, and I think, you know, props to AC for keeping the troops focused on the right stuff. Props to the players for being focused on the right stuff. Good for them. But I still come back to, did they need to do this? The word I keep coming back to is the untenable thing, because Rafi. And maybe it was one of those scenarios where it's like, yeah, when you decide you hate someone, you can't stand the way they drink their coffee. Like everything they does pisses you off. And that's obviously where Breslow was in Rafi Devers' eyes. Does that mean it was unsalvageable? I don't know. At the same time, if it's not salvageable, then you've got 8.5 years and you've got this offer on the table right now where a team's willing to eat every bit of the contract and you're willing to get, or you're able to get a couple of pieces back too. I don't know. I won't ever get to the point where I say the Red Sox had to trade Devers. And I put a poll on Twitter. Do you think after all that's come out that the Red Sox needed to trade Rafael Devers? And 54% of the people said yes, which I found surprising. Like, are you guys on that, are on the side that the team needed to trade Devers? Because I'm not.
Yes.
There. Yes. I want to hear from Pat. Pat, why are you on yes?
So real quick, before I give you the answer to that, I think the biggest difference between Devers and Manny, Manny was always on teams with five or six solid veterans. Like, there were some guys there who could control him. There was no one there to do that with Raffy. He was the longest tenured guy. It's all rookie and second year guys. And I think that's where the clubhouse thing comes in. Because if you had guys who were either older than Raffy, as good as Raffy, been with the team as long, maybe, you know, guys can kind of corral him and control him, kind of like Poppy and Pedro did Manny. That was not happening. You aren't going to have, you know, Jaren Duran try and like go up to Raffy, and it's not going to happen. So I think that's the biggest difference there.
What about Bregman?
Yes.
What about Bregman's
hurt? Bregman's hurt. And then this is first year there. First year. I don't think he has the, he should have the pull. He's a multi-time World Series winner. He's a multiple-time All-Star. He should absolutely have that pull. I think it reached a point where Raffy was just so stubborn, no one was getting through, especially the young guys. That being said, I do think, yes, they had to trade him. Maybe not that day, but they did.
Did they have to do it in season? Could they have, like, is there a part of you now with everything that's come out that thinks they could have tried, they could have kept the talent on the roster and given their team the best shot this year, and then did in the offseason? Or do you think that now, having traded Raffy, getting whatever trouble that was out of the clubhouse, do you think that maybe when Breslow and Sam Kennedy say, or it was Breslow that said it, he said, we might look back on this at the end of the year and see that we won more games than we otherwise would have. Are you on that? Like, is that where you're at?
I'm not going to say they're going to win more games. That being said, I do lean toward, it had to be an in-season trade. I truly believe that they were going to have just behind-the-scenes clashes the rest of the season. There was something else would have happened. Raffy would have made headlines. And it literally sounds like Breslow and Raffy hated each other. And Raffy...
So you think truly was untenable, Pat?
I truly believe it was. Well, I feel like once the agent steps in, it starts suggesting fresh starts. And there's no kind of progress in communication. That, to me, is untenable. That is untenable there.
That's interesting. Because, like, to me, I keep thinking to myself, I mean, Raffy Devers, a day after leaving the Red Sox, he gets up on that stage at the press conference and is asked about playing the field. And he says, I'm here to play wherever they want me to play. They are the bosses. Like, he used the words that the Red Sox were dying to hear him use when he was here. And it makes me think, damn, you know, maybe Raffy wouldn't have had a happy year this year. But is there a world where the offseason comes around? He's away for several months. He gets to decompress with his family, go to his farm with his chickens and all that shit, and just be away from it all. And then you come back to him and say, listen, Raffy, like, we fucked up in the communication with you last offseason. We're sorry about that. We should have handled it differently. But, like, moving forward, this is what we want this partnership to look like. We're paying you a lot of money, and we have the ability to win a lot of games here, and we think it's best we can win the most games and maximize our chances if you do this. Can we get on the same page? And maybe after being away for a couple months, he feels a little bit differently and you can salvage things. And if he doesn't, then you trade him. You know, if after several months away, he's still a pain in the ass and he's still telling you to go fuck yourself, then you can do it. But I just, like, it feels like the trigger was quick. And maybe it had something to do with the package. I don't know. Maybe there's worse things out. I mean, there's been a lot of crazy reports out there. I don't know. There's some stuff that I don't necessarily believe out there. But even if that stuff isn't true, like, I don't know how much I buy that he was pissed that Christian Campbell, when asked to play first base, agreed to play first base. That seems a little bit nutty to me. But to me, I think that Raffy in the offseason, maybe there was still a chance to salvage things. And if it couldn't be salvaged, then it's untenable. But I don't know if he knew it was untenable now. I don't think there's any way to know that.
Yeah, I got to say, I was very opposed to trading Raffy. But Pat, you made some good points. I do think so what I tried to do with this is I've been thinking about this for days, and I tried to simplify it as much as possible. This is the best hitter on the team. He's the face of the franchise. He's pissed off at the GM. It's the middle of the season. What are the options? What can you do? My thought was, bite the bullet. We've done this before with Manny Ramirez. How many times have we compared them? And by the way, I got so much I got so much crap for comparing those situations. Oh, yeah. Here we are for like the fifth fucking time bringing it up. Thanks, pearl clutching. Anyway,
there were Sammy. Before you go on, there were a lot. There was a lot of takes that we had on this show and on Twitter that we took a lot of shit for. And everything we said.
Like, this whole thing has taught me to stick to my guns and don't let even if I'm in the minority, if I really believe in a take, stick with it. And
stick with your guns. Mine was when McAdam reported that Devers thought about asking for a trade. I was like, that feels like a big deal. And everyone's like, why is he reporting that? Like, that's
Like what I said. That's like what I said earlier in the show. I don't like that take. Therefore, it's stupid and not worth listening to. Now, granted, when I heard that, my first thought was like, wow, I think that's super unlikely, but, you know, antenna up a little bit. Anyway, back to what I was saying.
Yeah, finish your
thought. Tried to simplify the situation. Best hitter on the team, best player on the team, arguably. He's pissed. He hates the GM. That's abundantly clear. Your GM is a fucking stiff, according to people around the team. You fucking stiff, Craig. I would have said, treat it like Manny, even though Devers has not done the level of stuff that Manny did. Bite the bullet. And like you said, Gordo, talk it out in the offseason. And then hopefully, you know, in 2026, when Raffy, you know, came into camp, hopefully in a little bit better shape, they work it out. And they say, look, man, you are the DH. You are the DH all year. If there's an injury at first base, they could either say, we want you to be ready to back it up, or we'll have so-and-so in AAA. Either way. Just explain it beforehand, have a better dialogue. And that's still something the Red Sox need to do. Like, regardless of how you feel about this situation, the communication in that front office needs to improve. And I thought Craig Breslow, I hate giving him credit for anything right now, but I thought he did a good thing going around one by one to the players in the locker room, giving them an opportunity to ask questions. That was good. Whoever programmed that into his system, that is really good. So just more of that. We need more communication. This is stuff that in any job interview, I think should be brought up. Communication. That's how you have a good functional team. I can't believe we have to talk about the Boston Red Sox like this. This is like kind of how you talk about a startup company, but here we are. So, that's what I would have preferred to happen. Keep your best hitter, bite the bullet this year, and then work it out in the future.
Sammy, one thing that you said, kind of backtracking a little bit, it reminded me. The other thing that was kind of telling around the teammates was that Craig and Sam went to the locker room to give an explanation, and the team was like, no, we don't need one. Wait, you don't need to explain yourself. That, to me, like, when you trade your star player, you ask for an explanation. They didn't want one.
That was crazy. That was crazy.
They get it.
But that's that was like, we were texting with Bradfoe, who was in that locker room, and I mean, he was backing up all their quotes. Like, it wasn't just like, because like, obviously there's a world where, yes, this is the right thing to say. We're just going to talk about moving forward. Like, hey guys, like, make sure all you talk about is moving forward. And there's a world where they say that and then behave differently. But no, like, by all accounts, you know, that clubhouse is perfectly fine. And maybe it's just a case of these guys are professionals and know how to do their job. But to me, no, I mean, I heavily lean towards, there's a lot of guys, particularly the veterans in that clubhouse, that are thinking to themselves, like, what he was doing was bullshit. He wasn't doing what was best for the team. He wasn't pulling in the same direction as us. And you know what? Like, hopefully the front office can go get something, that get another bat to replace it. But like, yeah, we like that. Josh, that was Miller. Unacceptable. But like but that's what this is all about for me. And we'll get there about what should come next. But the deal here with Devers, like, the story does not get finished until we see if they reinvest that money and what they reinvest the money in, and whether it's long-term star players or if they're going to do more of the 1 year, year to year, $20 million a year type stuff. Be like, yeah, we reinvested the money on a year to year basis. Like, that's how you end up with guys like Walker Buehler. Whereas if you invest it long term, you can get legitimate guys. But
Garrett Crochet.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you invest multi-year contracts in Garrett Crochet, the top tier free agents. You know,
question for you guys.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Deal.
You know what's interesting to think about, and this is way back in spring training, when the whole drama with like, oh, Bregman's coming in and everything, and you know the communication there was poor, but the subject was Rafael Devers is the third baseman and he does not want to move off of the position. You could frame it however you want. Every stat that exists says that he sucked at third base for about 8 years with one outlier year. So what I'm wondering is, do you think the teammates got a little bit annoyed early on when that was happening? That was like the first domino to fall. The awful defensive third baseman being upset of the idea of moving off at third base. Pre-Bregman, pre-all of that. Just the thought that he was like, what the hell? Because that's not helping the team. Your defense is actively hurting the team, making it harder for them to win games, and he doesn't want to move off of that position. That's what I was thinking about the other day.
Here's the difference. I'll tell you what the difference is to me is I think the team had more control over him moving from third to DH than they did from him moving from DH to first base. Like when Devers said no, what are you going to do about it? They're going to slot you in the lineup. Like you can say play third as many times as you want. But like if the team slots you in DH, you're going to play DH. The team's not going to slot you at first base if you haven't taken a ground ball there. So to me, I think the players knew that the end result was going to be like in spring training when it was you're moving to DH. I think the players knew the end result was going to be he's moving to DH. Whereas in the season, day by day passes and you're playing guys at first base. And like granted, the Toro Romy first base platoon has worked out pretty well. But like at the start of that, it's like we're playing Nick Sogard and Abraham Toro at first base. When if you play first base, we can call up Massa or Roman Anthony. Like what the fuck, bro? That's what I think. I think it got way worse when Casas went down. That's my thought.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say is I think because you can pull up the audio. I don't know what episode it is after Raffy's press conference where he says I play third. I called him a hypocrite because a year ago, 2 years ago, he's begging, please make us better. Please go out and sign someone. Yeah. And then he throws this huge bitch fit when they get Bregman in here. I think that's when like the animosity started with teammates. And then it was like a tipping point like once Casas went down. And how could it not be, right? Because if you're like Walker Buehler, Crochet, Giolito, like this, you're thinking, like, what is the optimal lineup to give me run support? And then, like, Massa, this poor bastard, is in witness protection.
He's in handcuffs in John Henry's basement.
And it's just because, like, Raffy wouldn't go over there. And, like, same thing with Roman. Like, Roman's hitting 330, slugging 1,000 in the minors. Just not wasting away, but, like, could have helped the team a month ago. And he's not because Raffy's not there. And
or at least would have been better now with more reps.
Yes. Yeah. And like that's the other thing too is like teammates are not oblivious. Like they know what like the optimal lineup is. They know what is best for the team. And he didn't do it. And I think there was kind of a true tipping point there.
Hmm.
So what are our thoughts? Because I think a lot of people were surprised when Devers got up on that stage and said, I'm going to play wherever the team wants me to play in San Francisco. I was not surprised because to me, this was always about him feeling wronged. And like you can just call his feelings justified or whatever. He felt wronged and his lack of willingness to play first base was not because he didn't think he could do it or maybe not even necessarily because he didn't want to do it. Like I'm sure if, let's say 365 days ago, you asked Rafael Devers, would you rather play first base every day or DH every day? He probably would have told you play first base. He probably would have wanted to stay in the field. That's just my guess. But he wanted to stick it to Brez. And in San Francisco, in his eyes, no one has lied to him. So yeah, I'll go out there and play the field. So I'm not surprised, but Lou and Will Fleming were talking about it on the radio broadcast, and I couldn't agree more with what they said. If you are a Red Sox teammate and Rafael Devers, you know, whether he plays first this week, I mean, how fucking nuts is it that they're about to play against Rafael Devers this weekend? But if he plays first base this weekend, like, theater. I'm sorry, but like, what the fuck? Like, what, that's what would be going through my head as a former teammate. Because as me, as Gordo, like, I'm not surprised at all. And I'm sure he would love to do it and play first base and stick it to the team. And I'm not surprised about it. But if you're one of his now former teammates, and it's like, buddy, like, you were potentially costing us games because of your fucking beef with the front office, and you were able to learn first base in 2 fucking days and play it against us. Like, go fuck yourself. That's what I would think if you're a
Gordo. Teammate. 3 days.
3 days.
Three, dude.
3 days.
Go ahead, Pat. Go ahead.
No. It's quick. Can you imagine if that lineup card comes out? He's at first base, and They just plunk him his first at bat.
Who's pitching this series?
Dobbins. Dobbins. It's Dobbins, Bayo, Giolito.
Dude, Dobbins is fiery. He might do it. I mean, I don't want them throwing at Rafi because I want the Red Sox to win these games. I want Rafi to go.
I'm looking at the vets. I don't know if Dobbins is right. Yeah, Gio.
If the Red Sox are ahead 7-0, sure, but I need
put in Jorge Alcala. He'll throw 100.
Yeah. Alcalaholics. No, but he'll miss Rafi.
That's true. He will miss.
He'll accidentally
if you miss,
a strike.
He can't throw again. You got to just. Yeah, he's going to throw right down the middle.
I mean, you know, we know. How do I say this?
Are you going to be mad when he plays first base?
Yeah.
Yes. Be this weekend?
Yeah,
fuck
of course
you.
I will.
Are you kidding me? Dude, if I were
I'm going to be upset.
If I were on the Red Sox, if I were 78 times as good at baseball as I am currently, and I were on the Red Sox and I saw that, fuck you. I don't like you anymore. You're not my friend. You're not my teammate. I don't fuck with you anymore. That's how I would. I mean, how could you feel any other way? It's a total middle finger from him. And by the way, nothing against the Giants for doing this. The Giants have done nothing wrong. Giants have done nothing wrong. They're handling this well. I actually like the Giants. I think they're a good team. But this weekend, I hope the Red Sox beat the fuck out of them, and I hope Devers goes 0-16 and makes 3 game-losing errors. I am so... That dude... I need the rage. I'm excited for this. This is going to be good theater. There's probably going to be a big Devers moment. You know what I was thinking? And this is way an insane thought, is to make it into the Hall of Fame as a DH, you have to have insanely good numbers, like David Ortiz. Pretty hard to do that in San Francisco. What if this cost Rafi the Hall of Fame?
Well, it
cost that's
him,
not crazy.
It cost him the number 11 in right field. It's that's already, to me, probably off the table. And I think he would have had his number retired.
Yeah. The Red Sox have either traded or let walk 3 almost guaranteed number retire guys in Betts, Bogarts, and Devers in 5 years. That is insane. Like, how do you do that?
They still have Story though.
Yeah,
I was thinking to myself. I was like, okay, not counting like a guy like Roger Clemens, who is actually feasibly the next Red Sox player that could get his number retired. And maybe the answer is Dustin. But like, let's think about guys that are like playing. Is it like someone who's been here not even a year? Like, is that the next most likely guy?
What do you mean? Is Veritek's retired?
No,
I'm talking about like guys that have not finished their careers, like where it's not like a decision, because they could retire Pedroia's number now if they wanted to.
Like most likely,
yeah. Is it like Crochet? Is it Anthony? Like
Sale?
I was gonna say Crochet. Sale? I don't think Sale. This is a conversation for another day. I don't think he's gonna. If he goes into the Hall of Fame, I think he's going to be White Sox, right? Because that's when he was best.
That's what I think.
Maybe as a Red Sox, but it doesn't matter. He's not getting his number retired here. I don't think he played here long enough. And
Okay. So current really player, played. I would I guess
Crochet. Right?
Crochet,
like,
yeah.
If like there's no one. Like not that Crochet isn't great, but he's in his first year.
Right. Yeah. I guess he's the most.
Like that's the thing. Like that's what happens when you trade a Rafael Devers. That's why like. People who want this story to go away. It's not going away.
Yeah.
Pat, how are you going to feel when Devers plays first base, whether it be this weekend or later?
Oh, dude. Fuck him. I'm going to have the same reactions when he said, "There, my boss is, I'll play anywhere." You're a stubborn child, dude. That's exactly how I feel, and that's exactly how I will feel if he plays first base.
It just sucks. Wait, he goes off.
Wait.
What?
I want to say this.
Uh-oh.
I am so confident that he's going to blow ass at first base.
Ooh, I don't know if he's going to. I think he might be okay.
Blow ass.
Whatever.
Yeah, I think he's good.
No. I think he's going to suck at first base.
I think Matt Chapman said he thinks he's going to be just fine. That's what he said today. But granted, what else?
Right,
Matt Chapman said it.
The Giants are like a toxic positivity franchise. Notice that because I lived over there for a few years. They're like wild. Everything's great.
Is that like a California thing?
So, dude, there's like, whatever, dude. I don't know, man. I think Devers will eventually be good at first base, but I do think he'll struggle at first.
Yeah.
I wonder if his numbers are going to nosedive, because he's got like nobody hitting around him. Like Adames has a sub 700 OPS, and then behind Devers is Ramos, who's like,
well, what did he have behind him here, though? He had Carlos Narvaez. You know, it's not
Bregman's ahead.
He's at Fenway,
no,
too.
No. Yeah, Bregman's behind.
He's also at Fenway, though, too. Like, yeah, he has guys on base all the time. Like, guys on base. So, I just think it's different. Plus, his whole career, he had good lineups.
It's not ideal. No. Like, that ballpark for a left-handed hitter, not great.
Freezing cold, too. It is so cold. If you haven't been to whatever it's called now, Oracle, Pac Bell. Weirdly cold ballpark for, it doesn't feel like you're in California.
I think I mentioned it a couple episodes ago, but something to keep an eye on. The San Francisco Giants have not had a 30 home run hitter since Barry Bonds in 2007.
Yikes. Wow.
Doesn't count this year. Unless Devers hits 30 with the Giants.
Yeah. If he pulls like a Manny in the second half where he got MVP votes, despite playing 2 months in the NL. Wait, what? He's on the NL All-Star ballot now. Is Devers
behind Shohei?
Right. So is he just like, he's going to make the All-Star team? Is he going to be on the NL? Sammy, it's weird. You asked this like on Twitter recently. I was like, Jeff Samardzija did that. And I think he wore like a 50 jersey. But Rafi has a little bit more time in the NL. Like he's going to have played in the NL for like a month.
On that topic. Did you see Ryan O'Hearn's comment? That was funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out Ryan O'Hearn. If we were, they're in a playoff spot. Maybe he is a future Red Sox.
So if you didn't see Ryan O'Hearn's comment, Ryan O'Hearn was kind of like the consensus second best DH in the American League this year. And he went on, what, like Foul Territory, one of those shows.
Yeah.
And he said, shout out Craig Breslow, because that basically locks up the starting job for him, which at the time I was kind of, you know, sour about it. But looking back, that is funny. So congrats, Ryan O'Hearn. Sounds like a Red Sox player.
All right. So to close this loop a little bit, I alluded to it before that we're not going to know the outcome of how you should feel. Like anyone who's got set in stone emotions about this deal from the Red Sox perspective is wrong, because just like when they traded away Adrian Gonzalez and Carl Crawford and Josh Beckett in 2012, which outside of this trade, I would say that trade is the most shocking in my lifetime as a Red Sox fan. The Devers trade probably trumps that. But what the reason that trade worked out so well is because the following offseason they went and they signed Mike Napoli. They went and signed Shane Victorino. They went and signed Koji Uehara. They went and signed Ryan Dempster. Like they reinvested that money. They did it right away and it got them a World Series. Our opinions on this deal can't be finalized until we see what they do. So there's so many different directions they could go from here, because let's be honest with ourselves, like they need another number two or better starting pitcher. They need at least one, I'll say one, but at least one middle of the order bat. They need both of those things. I don't know that they're getting both of those things this year, but what in your guys' eyes kind of closes this loop and you would be able to say, you'd be able to put your head on the pillow at night and say, hey man, like they got, you know, this, they got this, I don't want to call him a cancer. I feel like that's unfair, but they got Devers out of the clubhouse.
Pariah.
They got this pariah out of the clubhouse and they reinvested the money in this. And so they made the team better as a whole. Like, what is that in your guys' eyes?
So for me, it's half and half. You get half of it done at the deadline, half of it done in the winter. Since the trade, I've like totally sold myself on Josh Naylor. He's hitting 300. He's high 30s in RBI. He's a playoff dog. Like, he and Bregman had probably some of the better postseason since, I don't know, 2016, 2017. He's great in the postseason. He is fiery. You trade for him as a rental with the idea of extending him. And then this offseason, you go and you bring Michael King home. If you reinvest that money into Josh Naylor and Michael King, you got to feel pretty good about how they use that money.
For me, I, by the way, Pat, I think that's good. I agree with what you said. It's that, I mean, that's nearly impossible question for me to answer.
Agreed.
I would like the star power to be replaced. I'm trying to think of like straight up unrealistic guys that there's like a 5% chance they get. Like, if the Padres completely fall out of the race, would they move Fernando Tatis for like an insane haul and like Meyer or something crazy, something nuts, or Campbell, something just insane where you get that superstar back? Because I think Roman Anthony could be a superstar. I think there's a lot of guys on this team that could be a superstar, but it's Boston and you kind of need a guy like that. And it's, the Red Sox feel a little bit faceless right now. So if you can get, you know, I'm going to sound like an idiot even saying this, but a guy like Tatis or like Acuna, some a freak of nature like that, that's the only move that would, as you said, Gordo, have me put my head on the pillow at night and be like, we are so back. Otherwise, yeah, it's a bit of piecing it together. Like, Josh Naylor, I think, is good, but, you know, he's good.
Not replacing Devers. That's,
no, he's not replacing Devers. I think, go ahead.
One quick thing, one caveat to mine that I forgot to mention is you actually lock in Bregman long term. That is so important now.
Yeah.
That is one thing I forgot to mention. That's absolutely. You have to.
It's like locking in Bregman, locking in Anthony and or Meyer, like that, that is, that's something you're capable of doing today that could change the tune of like people who think that this was a straight salary dump, which, Sammy, I want you to continue with your thought, but quickly, do either of you guys think that this, that the purpose of this trade was a salary dump? Because I do not.
No, it was part of the trade,
it was
but it wasn't
of the trade. But it wasn't the trade.
No, they're not. They weren't like, we got to get rid of the salary. It was like, if we're trading Rafi, we want the team that will take the salary. It wasn't It wasn't, you know, they did dump the salary, but you can't.
It wasn't motivated by that. Like, the motivation was, we need to get this guy out of here.
If you, let me stand on my soapbox. I'm gonna get kind of fiery. If you believe that the Boston Red Sox traded Rafael Devers to fund Liverpool's recent acquisitions,
I had people in my DMs.
I have an oceanfront property in Kansas to sell you, you idiots.
Yeah, I don't think the $13 billion Fenway Sports Group is like, if we can just free up this $300 million, then we can afford this weird European guy.
Finish your take about like Acuna, Tatis, star power.
I want a star like that. I think that extending Alex Bregman and making him officially a Red Sox, because he's on the team right now, but he could be gone next year. So I don't really feel like this guy is Red Sox. Like, I'm not there yet. If you lock him up, I'm like, this is our guy now. And he is a star. He's probably a Hall of Famer himself. So that helps a little bit, but still not in his prime anymore. He's going to be 31. So I guess that helps a little bit, but I'm really looking like, deadline-wise, I kind of agree with Pat. I don't think you're going to find that big fish just yet. So I do think it's smart to get a rental like Josh Naylor, who I probably wouldn't offer an extension to, but it would be a fun rental. If you want to take a big swing, maybe Joe Ryan from the Twins, maybe. Sandy Alcantara, if he continues to pitch well and you don't have to kind of reclamation project him, that's another big swing, but that's TBD. He has to keep it up. We can't do any more Bueller, Giolito.
They have so many. They literally just traded for Kyle Harrison, who we still haven't talked about. Who I'm selling myself a little bit on what that guy can be, but
yeah,
They have what could they be? And it's not
right,
what
but
they
that's
are.
What I mean. That's what I mean with Sandy. Like yeah. if he, because he's had three really good outings in a row. If he has, you know, 8 out of 10 are really good, then I could be like, all right, this is the freak of nature Sandy that we've seen. He had a little bit of a rough start. He's back. That could be an option. Right now, I'm not on board with that, but it could be. So yeah, there's some arms they could get, but there's no like Garrett Crochet level guy sitting out there right now. There's no Rafael Devers type bat that's going to be available at the deadline. I don't think. I will say, I did turn on notifications for the Padres. I am rooting against them, hoping they sell. Thank you, Xander Bogaerts, for taking that money. That would be crazy. If that Xander Bogaerts contract is such an albatross that it forces the Padres to trade Tatis and he ends up on the fucking Red Sox.
Sammy, I hope it goes that way. But I feel like we've been barking up the Tatis and like the Acuna thing too. I feel like these teams, like, and granted, the Red Sox
almost no shot.
Yeah, it's just it feels
almost no shot. But hey, all offseason, I was saying trade for Crochet, sign Bregman, and they did it. So maybe Craig is a Playtesty listener.
Let me tell you what I would do. I scoured the internet and I'm trying to think, okay, realistically, who is a guy on a team that at least should sell? Sometimes teams that should sell don't, so it's not a guarantee.
Rockies.
And you look at what Breslow said on the Zoom call, on the press conference. He basically let it slip that they're looking for a first base option long term, and he referenced Costas's long road back. And then you hear the other report from, I believe it was The Athletic, that the Red Sox wanted Bryce Eldridge in the deal initially, Giants first base prospect. Obviously, you know, he's their top asset, so like even if it's like a position that you've got locked up at, like you're going to want the guy who's the best asset. But still, two signs that show that the Red Sox are looking into first baseman. The Braves are a team, in my mind, that needs to get younger. I think they could be an interesting match in a couple of different routes. I'm going to save the specifics of a who says no that I've got for a later podcast when we dedicate it to that, a little bit closer to the deadline. But Matt Olson, that's the guy I would be looking into. Suddenly, the Red Sox are not super stacked up on exclusively left-handed hitters, you know, with Kyle Teal, not the catcher of the future anymore, with Rafael Devers, not the whatever position he was going to fucking play of the future anymore. And with Costas, not necessarily, like, we'll see what his future is here. They can afford to take in a left-handed hitter. And Matt Olson, you know, he may not be playing the best baseball of his career this year, but lately he is, you know, mid-900s OPS this month, and every month he's trended up. Great defensive first baseman, which the Red Sox have not had in some time. I like that idea. The Braves, in my mind, should be willing to shake things up there. I think there could be an interesting match of swapping big league talent for big league talent there. But that's I would be looking at first baseman. And you know what? If they won't do it, Pat, I like your idea of Josh Naylor. I saw people pointing to Rhys Hoskins. I think that's an interesting idea just to get you to the finish line now so that you can reevaluate things in the offseason. Like, that's where I would go. But, I mean, there's a million – like, Sammy, you said Joe Ryan. Like, you could use the money on a pitcher that's been – he hasn't been paid. But if you wanted to use it on a pitcher that's been paid, you could do that too. Or a pitcher that's going to get paid, you could get Joe Ryan and extend him. Like,
if you get Joe Ryan, you could win the American League. You got Crochet and Ryan 1 and 2, and then like a handful of solid starters behind. He'd be really good. So, and then first base wise, like I saw people floating Rhys Hoskins. He would be an upgrade, but is he enough of an upgrade with this team to make it worth like forfeiting the prospect? Like, how much better is he going to be than the platoon
Sammy,
situation?
He's making money though. That's why it interests me, because I think they could just take on the money and not give a huge prospect. Because like, if Rhys Hoskins was making like $5 million this year, like, yeah, you're gonna have to give something good. But
what's his contract?
Didn't he sign like a 2-year $40 million or something with them a couple of years ago?
34. Yeah. So he's making what? Is that like $17 million a year?
So like, yeah, like those guys.
Oh no, but it's a mutual option for next year. So he's basically free.
He's a rental who's making a lot of money. And unless those guys are amazing players, and like, he's not necessarily that caliber of player, like those guys don't go for a crazy amount. So that's why
I don't just add talent. Yeah, I guess. I don't think the money really matters much with Hoskins. Like,
Well, that's why I like Devers. That's why a guy like Devers doesn't bring in like the craziest return, is because it comes with, and granted, obviously it's different levels, but it's because he comes with 250.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
$1 million.
So my thing with Olsen, first of all, Olsen, awesome player. If the Red Sox got Olsen, I would freak the fuck out. That would be sick. It's just in my head. I've been saying this for 2 months now. I think Christian Campbell will wind up being a first baseman. I think he's brutal at second. I think he could handle left field, center field, but they have way too many guys out there. So I think that by default, he will end up being a first baseman. And on Thursday, as we record, he got sent down to AAA today, which is kind of a whole different can of worms.
We should talk about that before we get to enough said. We
want to get to that really quick?
Yeah, we got to be pretty quick with
okay.
it. Let's do it.
Right off the bat, my initial reaction today was that I didn't like the idea of sending Christian Campbell down. I know he's been struggling. That's no secret. I just don't think that hitting AAA pitching at a lower speed and playing defense at a lower speed is going to help him play Major League Baseball better. That said, if they're sending him down, and the thought process is, hey, we want you to play first base. We think this is most likely to be your long-term home. We have a platoon that's playing very well right now with Romy and Toro. So we want you to learn this in AAA, get comfortable with it, and in 2-3 weeks, come back up to the majors and we'll see, or we'll just reevaluate in a few weeks. Then if that's what they're doing, fine. But if they think he's a second baseman long-term, and they're like, this will fix his defense, or, oh, this will reset him and help him hit better, you know, maybe, but I would prefer to just work him out at the major league level.
Pat, where are you at on it?
No, I'm they should have sent him down. And the reason I say that, first off, I am fully confident that he develops into a very good major league player. Plenty of guys get sent down. The two obvious ones that everybody points to are Judge and Trout. One that kind of feels very Campbell-esque offensively. Like there are a lot of questions. I don't know. I was going to say Pete Crow Armstrong. There was a ton of questions about his offense. Struggled real bad his first cup of coffee. Went down. And then, I mean, now he's top five in the NL MVP conversation. So I think, honestly, Campbell, over the past, we'll call it like 60 days, I feel like it's a confidence thing. Like, even when he was struggling early on, it was quality at bats with good contact. It was just at guys. But now it's like he's getting jammed bad on inside pitches, and he's chasing them. He's looking at strike three. Like, I think he's sitting off speed and taking fastballs down the dick. Like, I think a lot of it's a confidence thing. I think going down there, being able to slow the game down, build back up offensively, and just work on like his eye and like just his plate confidence. The defense, whatever. Sammy, like you said, you guys will back me up on this. I have said before he was even in the fucking major leagues, he is not a second baseman.
Yeah.
But
you may have cooked with that one.
But if they send him down to be the first baseman, or like a corner outfielder, if they think they get other moves lined up, fine. Find him a long-term home defensively and get his offensive confidence back. A+. Do it. Happy you did it.
So, Pat, I'm with you in the sense that I do think it's a confidence thing. And you're right. The at-bats looked different. And, you know, to me, this says one thing. If you had questions that, hey, the Red Sox are selling early. You know, they sold Devers, so they're selling. If this was a team that wasn't trying to win, then Christian Campbell would be up and playing whatever position they think he's going to play in the future. I still think he's a second baseman in the future. And he'd be playing that position every single day because it's a developmental year. That is not where this team is operating right now. They're operating to win ball games, and they're going to put the lineup out there that they think best wins games. And with Campbell, I think he goes down and, you know, the game slows down. You have more time to work on things, work on whatever is going on with your at-bats, go work on whatever defensive position that you're going to be long-term. I hope that they kind of keep him in one spot and just be like, all right, focus on this and get better here. Cause he's a quick learner. He's athletic. Like, he can do this. It's just, let's not teach him three positions at once. Let's just keep him focused on one thing. The game moves a little bit slower down there, and hopefully he can come back and he's going to be better. I fully believe this guy is going to be a really good major league player. The Red Sox put their money where their mouth was on that one. I don't think they were wrong to do it. I don't think there's any shame in sending him down to AAA with that extension on the books. I think he's going to end up hopefully coming back this year and being better. The one thing that comes to my mind, though, is this whole, to connect the whole fucking podcast, they moved Devers off of third base to play Bregman at third so that they could play Christian Campbell at second base to start the year. Could things have been differently if they had just played Devers at third, played Alex Bregman at second, and had Christian Campbell start the year in AAA to earn his spot, which is what I was saying before the season started? Like, I don't know. I mean, you still would have run into problems because with Campbell, Meyer, Anthony up here, like, eventually Devers at third base would have been tough. But it's something to ponder. Like,
I think he would have just thrown his fit later in the year, or just with different timing. I think it still would have happened. Still got maybe the same guys on the team, and your defense would have been way worse. So no.
But then the communication in the offseason, like, he wouldn't have been lied to. Like, they told him your third base job isn't in jeopardy if we get one of the, or whatever. Like,
do we know that for sure? Because there's been conflicting reports on that too. How could they have said that?
There's no conflicting on that. They told him that is widely reported.
Wasn't there a report that said nobody promised him anything, and they never actually said throw away your glove, and that was him embellishing?
Two different things. It is widely accepted reported that they told him this offseason when he asked about, hey, are you trying to get Bregman and Arenado? They told him he had nothing to worry about. What you're talking about there is the why was he exclusively DH? Why was he not ready to play the field? And yeah, Breslow was like, would think that Breslow probably did not tell him you're only going to be a DH.
It makes no sense. Makes no sense. None of that makes any sense. There's got to be something missing. I don't really care, though. It's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I mean, to me, the Red Sox error comes in the offseason. Like, that's where the fuck up is, and everything once Bregman was signed.
But isn't it like the fallacy of low expectations? Like, how dumb is Raffy? You've been the worst defensive third baseman for 8 years now. No, you're fine. There's no chance we move you. He's like, okay, I'll keep clunking around over there. I don't know. Whatever.
It's a pride thing. It's an ego thing. I mean, he had the power to stop this, and like, my pendulum keeps swinging further and further to Devers.
Pride and ego are often used, words used to mask stupidity. Just saying.
Well, they get in the way of making good decisions. Your egos get in the way of productivity, good decisions. Like, you're not wrong.
Mm-hmm. Quick enough set.
Yeah, if you guys have very fast. Just be super fast. I don't think I've got anything, so go for it.
Quick, okay. If a family member, someone you know, walks up to you, they say, Gordo, Pat, Joe Braverman, are you a Rafael Devers fan? What's your response?
I say yes. He was one of my favorite. He was my favorite player for years. I think he fucked up. Quick I response. Think he fucked this whole thing up. But yes, I'm still a fan.
Okay.
Pat, you're muted. You're
muted.
How awkward. I was. It's honest. I was. Not anymore.
Okay. I think it's fair. Sammy, what about
Joe?
You?
Was Joe there? Do we have Joe, or is Joe busy? Here we go. Joe, what about you?
So if someone came up to me and said, are you a Devers fan?
Yeah, they say, walk up to you. They go, hey, Joe, dang, you look super handsome today. I love your hair. Hey, quick question for you. Are you a Rafael Devers fan?
I think I'm going to say no. I think like, and it when I say it, it's going to break my heart, because I was such a big fan. I basically, like Pat, I was such a huge fan, but then he decides to let his ego get in the way and be a petulant little child with that little childish smile that he has, and decides to go into business for himself. So no.
Sammy, what about you, Sammy?
No. Thanks for the memories, but fuck no. Fuck no, I'm not a Rafael Devers fan. He's not on the team I root for anymore, and he's no. No, I'm not a fan. Appreciate the memories. No.
I got a quick one. So I think it was the night that Raffy got traded. I tweeted out the Red Sox now have no excuse not to lock in Bregman, extend Marcelo slash Roman, make a deadline splash slash free agent signing, which they don't. That's factual. The amount of people who replied to that, and they're like, why would Bregman want to stay here? Well, why Scott Boras wouldn't let a guy forego free agency? First off, Alex Bregman did not sign here because of Rafael Devers. He signed here because the ballpark plays to his swing and he loves Alex Cora. Those two
and
things
he loves
have not
the kids
changed.
Too, Pat.
Yep, loves the kids, and those two things, three things, have not changed. The other one, the Scott Boras thing. What he wouldn't let him forego free agency, buddy. Matt Chapman literally did that last year. like same exact thing. Like signed a basically one year deal, balled out, loved San Fran, signed an extension like right after the All-Star break. So get that, shut up. It's not unreasonable. All of the reasons Bregman signed here are still true. And the Boras thing is a non-factor. First time free agent guys, that is a thing. Free agent guys just extending their extending an existing contract happens all the time with Boras guys.
All right, that's going to – I don't have enough said. We got to wrap. But shout out if you made it through this episode. Appreciate you tuning in. I wish that we could just talk about the Red Sox winning 2 out of 3 against a good Seattle Mariners team. I wish that they could have traded the Dining Playbook guys as opposed to Rafael Devers. We can't always get what we want. You know, it'll be an interesting series. It'll be interesting watching the Red Sox face Rafael Devers. I'm not really prepared for it. We'll be up at fucking 10:15 till whatever the fuck o'clock at
Wait,
night.
Gordo, when you see Rafael Devers, you're going to be like, he looks a little bit different. And that's good.
So shout out to Rafi for looking a little bit differently. Not for good reason, though. But yeah, thanks for tuning in to episode 227. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on YouTube on WEI's channel. Play Tessie playlist there. Hit the thumbs up on all the videos. Find us on the socials at Play Tessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy, for Pat, for Joe producing, it's Gordo. For Play Tessie, episode 227. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.